Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. I am Jason. I'm joined this week with Kevin. We don't have a third person because Riley decided to cancel last minute. But hey, what are you going to do? But we're going to soldier on, just Kev and I. And hell, it'll be a fine show. So I'm looking forward to it. Kev, how you doing?
Good. Let's just hope we don't go on for 3 hours.
Yeah. The third person does tend to balance us out. Sometimes when it's just me and you, we tend to just start talking and then we just don't stop. So, yeah.
It's almost like we forget whatever we're recording. We're just on the phone talking to each other.
Right. Yeah. So, but I mean, sometimes that's made for some of our better shows, though, too. So, I mean, you know,
that is true.
It is what it is. But you got to take the good with the bad, right? But, you know, this week, I definitely want to talk about AEW Revolution, you know, specifically Sting's last match. But I also want to get into some of the things that we saw happen on WWE TV this week, especially when it pertains to the Cody and Seth bloodline story. In addition to that, some of the other things that are going on, too, that, you know, I'm kind of interested in having a conversation about. But, yeah, man, I guess I don't want to jump back and forth, so I think it's probably better just to start in AEW, right? Just kind of go straight into that and talk about Revolution. I watched some of the show. I didn't watch the entire thing, but how much of it did you get a chance to see?
I watched, obviously, the main event, mm-hmm. Which I'm glad it did main event, because I know we talked about, like, off the air in text about how... And I think maybe you heard it too, but like it seemed to me, like watching, I did watch some of the free show on YouTube, and they kept talking about like how the main event, talking about the world title match main event, mm-hmm. and that's when we started talking about it. And even like I was thinking, like, how could this be the main event?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and that's what I thought too. Like maybe it was like, okay, like something like Flair's last match, like it hit, that wasn't the main event, but technically that wasn't like built as his last match. It was just if he lost, he had to retire. Yeah. So with this being built as Sting's last match, like that's where I got confused, where I was like, man, it really should be the main event. I am glad, though, that it was. I am not happy with basically just kind of overrunning and getting cut off.
Yeah, like his speech and stuff like that getting cut off.
Yeah, I understand. Like it got filmed and stuff, and you could watch. Like, I mean, that you could watch for free, but they really mm-hmm. missed the boat on that being there. Like, they easily could have cut time on some matches. They did cut time on matches
though too, because it wasn't the Kingston and Bryan match like super short.
I think it was, but if you look at like the tag match between FTR and
that did go on for a while. That was a really good match though. That was one of the
when I was going back, because I always like to read Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net, because he covers everything pretty much. Him and Jake Barnett, they'll cover stuff like live as it happens, mm-hmm. and. You know, it's a little delayed because they have to type stuff in or whatever. But, like, he always has time cues of all these matches. That's kind of how most of the time, like, in my research, I know, like, how, like, long a lot of matches go on for. Mm-hmm. And it was about a 20-minute match. But, like, yeah, like you said, that it was that match to me was worth, like, the 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, what I loved about it was, obviously, the Road Warrior kind of entrance.
Yeah.
But even FTR, their entrance was homage to, I know they kind of used the Midnight Express's music, mm-hmm. but like with the glowing pink, like that was kind of an homage to one of their Starrcade entrances.
Mm.
Now, I think it was Starrcade 87. Now, that wasn't in the Greensboro Coliseum, it was actually in Chicago. But that entrance was like that with the pink light and stuff. So, like, they kind of did homage to Midnight's.
Yeah.
But then, and then the match ended up being, which was kind of funny because I think we talked about, we're like, all right, this match, okay, well, you know, stuff going on with, you know, Cash and mm-hmm. yada yada and everything. And like you said, it ended up being probably the best match, what I would say, maybe not the best match of the night, but up there.
Yeah, I mean, Ospreay and Takeshita was really good too, but you kind of expected that to be really good. And I'll be honest with you. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I actually went and watched about like a 10-minute highlight reel of that match, and that one, you know, again, I'm kind of glad it exceeded our expectations. We knew we were going to get Ospreay.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, we don't really think the most of. I call him Takeshita because that's what it is.
He is good though. He just doesn't have like in ring he's great, but outside of the in ring, like if he wasn't with Don Callis, like who would care about this guy? Like he has no
right.
I mean, he doesn't even have like, you know, like Nakamura. There's a language barrier, right? But yes. Nakamura has like a flair, like a charisma about him.
Yes,
and Takeshita reminds me of Dijak. Like, he's got the look, he's got the size, he's got the ability, but he just doesn't have that it factor to, like, really connect. And I think Dijak's starting to find it a little bit, but he doesn't have the language barrier to deal with. Like, that, it makes it harder. So you have to put him with Don Callis or somebody of that ilk that can talk for him because, you know, but at the same time, though, he doesn't emote very well. He has one look on his face and that's it. Like, he just doesn't, as a fan, he doesn't connect to me. But his in-ring ability is amazing. I mean, I can't take anything away from him.
Yeah, now that I think of that, that might have been probably the best match of the night.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's your, you know, it's kind of your typical, I know that's like, people say like, that's all your typical Ospreay match, but that's just how he wrestles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Every match is like that with him, yeah.
Every match is like that with him. So it's not like he, you know what I mean? Like, but the thing I will give Ospreay credit, and I'll give him both credit, like, a little bit of a story just because they're both Don Callis family or whatever, but like, it was a moveset type match, but like it was also though like a kind of like good wrestling match. You know what I mean? Like a kind of a good wrestling spot fest match, but it was still hard hitting. It wasn't like campy horror shit. There wasn't a lot of botching in it too. You know what I mean? So, I was really, really impressed with that, honestly. So.
Yeah,
expectations.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was a good match, and then basically when I picked it up, I got to watch the end of Storm and Purrazzo. I got to watch Ospreay and Takeshita. I got to watch the tag match. I got to watch Cassidy and Roderick Strong. Kyle O'Reilly coming back was a cool moment in that.
That was cool. Yeah.
It was a little weird because they were like, hey, join us. And he's like, yeah, let's pump the brakes. He explained it a little bit more on Dynamite. But,
yeah.
I mean, he you know, he looked a little rough.
Yeah. I'm glad they put the title on Strong. Like,
me too. Me too.
You know, hopefully he gets a little time. To rest or something.
Oh no, he's jumping into the tag team tournament with Trent as his partner.
Oh, okay.
Because Chuck can't Chuck still isn't medically cleared, so it's representing the best friends in this tag team tournament. It's going to be Orange and Trent. Okay. But at the same time, though, a tag Orange can take some time because he's not in the whole time. So
and as awesome he's been for that championship and stuff like. You know, I mean, it's good to get something fresh in there, and Roddy's great. You know what I mean? So
it's funny though. We say that like get some rest, but fucking Orange, like these AEW guys wrestle once a week.
Right.
That's like saying Roman, you need to take a break, man. You're going too
take
hard.
Take my year off. You do.
Now a lot of people kind of. Unfortunately, like the triple threat match for the AEW championship kind of came at a bad spot because it was in between Ospreay and Takeshita and Sting and Darby versus the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
But it was still a really good match, and I really appreciated the storytelling of it. Like, I like the fact that they, you know, they basically showed that Hangman was more interested in keeping Swerve away from the championship than he was winning it for himself.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that, how they did that. And I liked, you know, I liked the ending too, because that night was not the night to crown Swerve. You know what I mean? Like, the more I think about it, like, I think I predicted Swerve to win, but, like, that night was about Sting. It wasn't about crowning a new AEW champion. So, like, but the way that they did it makes you want Swerve more. So they did a great job of really kind of, because of the way that they like, and I'll give kudos to AEW, who typically, you know, storylines or things that have struggled, this has been really good, and what they're doing with Swerve's character is telling a story, and they're doing an amazing job of telling it, and the audience, the buy-in has gone from, you know, here to, like, all the way up here already. I mean, if you watch Dynamite and you saw Swerve come out and you heard his reaction, and man, the Whose House, like, everybody is answering Swerve's House. Like, that crowd is 100% for him. And honestly, they need to, like, you know, they need to stretch it out even further. You know what I mean? Like, putting the title on him right now would maybe kill some of that momentum. He's almost kind of like in that Cody, like, where Cody's at right now. Like, it's better to kind of make him wait. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. After I thought about it more and with that match, like you said, like, this was Sting's night. And, yeah, it was not a night for... That's why that was my only speculation when I heard, like, the triple threat was going to be the main event. I'm like, okay, something's going to go down. But then once it did happen, it's like, okay.
Yeah. I'm glad they did it the way they did it.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the main event, so you had Sting, Darby Allin versus the Young Bucks. First of all, raise your hand if when Sting's son came out first, you thought that was Sting. The blonde hair with the... I totally thought that was... I was like, he dyed his hair blonde? Like, I was shocked. And I was like, wait a minute.
The only reason I didn't think that was just because of his, like, body build. And, like,
Sting but he's been covered up for so long. I was like, wait, he's coming out shirtless?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, like, and then plus, like, I feel like his son has a lot more hair than he does. Like, I feel like Sting's hair,
the way it is,
I don't think he could pull off the flat top unless it was a wig or something.
But that was kind of cool.
Awesome. Yeah. His other son in the wolf pack. Sting.
Yep.
Pretty sweet.
Now, the video package was really good and it was well done, but it was lacking, unfortunately. Like, there's a lot of footage from WCW, and, you know, so I don't know if they didn't ask, or maybe if WWE didn't grant it.
No, they did. WWE didn't grant it.
But it kind of surprises me, though, because did you catch on Monday Night Raw where Michael Cole shouted it out?
Yeah, I know. But did you also, when Pat Mac... So they...
Yeah, Pat McAfee says it was a phenomenal match, and they were just like, eh.
and Michael Cole right away was boom.
Like, change the subject, yeah.
Yeah, from what I read from multiple people, whatever, and not just, like, Meltzer or anybody, but, like, I guess they, yeah. I guess also, like, because Luger was there and DDP were there, so they technically have, like, Legends contracts with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were allowed to be there, but they were, like, asked to, like, not be on camera.
Yeah.
You know, they showed Magnum and Nikita.
Right.
Which Luger was, like, actually appreciative of WWE. He's like, hey, you know, thank you for letting me be there. Like, and him and DDP were like, oh, yeah, we don't have to be on camera. We just want to be there.
Luger's hoping he's going to be in the Hall of Fame this year. So I think he wants to not do anything that's going to piss them off.
And I hope he does, too, because, he seems like he's really, like, just, you know, I've listened a little bit of his Lex Express with Conrad and stuff, and, like,
I haven't got a chance to listen to that. Yeah, I'll have to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, a lot of it's, like, on ad-free shows, like, but you can watch clips and stuff, like, on YouTube and whatnot. But, like, hey, what? Like, kudos on him, like, really turning his life around and, like, just everything. It's a great listen. But, it was lacking some of that stuff. But they did, like, they did have at least some still pictures, like him with the WCW title. Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah, they did have a few things.
But it was, I tell you what, it was like, it was lacking that, but like, I tell you, the whole thing and just him sitting there watching it and like, just like the music that they used and stuff, like, it was awesome. Like, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, always loved Sting. He's always, you know what I mean, like, just been one of those just great players and just, like, you know, good for him. I'm glad, you know, he could finally
Yeah, be happy with how he, you know, he went on in his terms. And right. After what happened when he was in WWE, like you didn't think he'd get that opportunity, which is really good. So yeah, and it was a good send off, man. And the match was fun. You know, the only thing, the glass spots, it's just like so dangerous, like recklessly dangerous for no reason. And the Darby's is one thing, but even the one that Sting did in the ring, the glass projected out and flew out into the crowd. Like it's just like. I don't know, man.
Whether, I mean, real glass, sugar glass, whatever they use, like, I don't know, like, just why not just fall onto some tables or something? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. Put a table in that corner, like, instead of the glass. Like, it still looks like cool. Why do that?
Like, and I get, like, I understand, like, they obviously had all the precautions and this and that and everything, but like you were talking off air about something that happened.
Yeah, there,
which I didn't know about.
So. There have been claims by fans that they were struck by the glass and that they were cut, and that they reached out to AEW and their legal team refuses to compensate people for their injuries, and what they're pointing to is apparently there is a disclaimer that showed up on the big screen that said like. You know, fans in the first few rows could be struck by degree or by the guardrail or by like, you know, competitors, you know, AEW is not responsible or liable, blah, 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 blah. But here's the thing, man, this isn't fucking SeaWorld. Like when you go sit in the front row, you're not expected to be splashed by Shamu. Okay. Like when you go to a wrestling show, like Tony Khan, the guy who sat there almost in tears and said, I should never be afraid at a wrestling show when in regards to the whole thing with CM Punk. Like, I should never fear for my life at a wrestling show. Well, Tony, your fans shouldn't have to fear that glass is going to fly in their eye or cut them or their kids or somebody in the front row because of a stunt. Like, that's not... You know what I mean? Like, to me, things like that... are just another example of just taking it too far. You already had a great moment. You're sending Sting. I keep calling him Steve. Like he's no longer Sting because he's retired apparently. But you're sending Sting off in this great way. You're doing a great job with it. And now it's like so you can't have something positive without there being something negative. So because you did this, right. Now there's controversy. Now there's, you know, issues, and now instead of talking about this great moment for Sting, people are spending time talking about the spot that really didn't need to be there.
And
here's the thing too, like the thing that I guess concerns me the most in regards to Darby Allin, because did you see what his bat, like when the camera showed him laying there and then all of a sudden that blood just rushed to the surface?
Instantly.
Like it looked terrible, and it was, and they cut away from it really fast.
The fact that he only needed 12 stitches.
Yeah, that was. I mean, the rest of them were duct taped, so they probably went Sabu and super glued them.
Man, yeah.
But you know, and even like Flair talked about when he like I guess if you listen to what happened when Conrad said something about. You know, he got caught up when he was just knelt in it when he took that kick from the Bucks, like when he went to check on Sting after he went through the glass. Mm-hmm. So whatever it was, like it was definitely a sharp substance. But, you know, the thing with Darby and the thing that concerns me, like Darby's about to climb Mount Everest. And he said on Dynamite that this this next week could be his last ever match. Like he doesn't know if he's going to come back alive because a lot of people have died trying to climb Mount Everest. Like it's a thing. Yeah. And that's, I guess that's where kind of my concern is. And I brought this up, like somebody posted a picture of Mick going through the cell with the chair and Darby going through the glass and said, why is one okay, but the other one isn't? And I kind of broke it down like this. I said, you know, taking aside what we knew about the human anatomy back then compared to what we know now, it's completely different. But like, forget about that. What happened to Mick was a result of an accident. That was a stunt that was supposed to go a different way and went that way that they didn't plan for.
Yeah, when he went through the cage, that was kind of... That was not... I'm sure he was not planning to.
It was
for that to happen.
Yeah, it was supposed to. It was supposed to happen gradually. Like it was supposed to sink in, and then finally give way. But it just gave way when they weren't ready for it, and then he went through.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's one thing.
And honestly, the one going over the side, yes, hurt like hell.
Yeah.
Everything. But like that one was, you know, a little more controlled. You know what I mean?
And I will say that if you want to compare that spot with what Darby did, I'll hear that argument. But at least that table broke some of his fall, whereas that glass did not do anything to slow down Darby, man. He hit hard.
Yeah.
So, that being said, that was very intentionally done self-harm. Like, my worry with Darby is I feel like he has a death wish. And I at one point, does it stop becoming about entertaining the fans and him testing his limits? But then, what if he finally finds that limit on national TV? Like, is that what it's going to take for him to either break his neck and be seriously injured or die in front of a crowd full of people? You know what I mean? Because if something catastrophic like that would have happened, then all that's going to happen is everybody's going to go back and watch all the highlights of him jumping out of the ring with a skateboard on a ladder, or, you know, flying headfirst at people through the ropes, or, you know, diving off that ladder with Jeff Hardy and landing on the chairs and all the dumb things that he's done. And you're going to look at people like Tony Khan and the agents that work for AEW and say, why didn't you save him from himself? And that's my concern of what's happening. Like, and I'm concerned about Darby. Like, I'm a fan of Darby Allin. I like Darby Allin a lot, but I'm worried about the dude because I feel like he's seriously going to hurt himself. And I think the fact that he's climbing Mount Everest almost proves my point a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and at what point, you know, like I said, like at some point you have to take in consideration who's watching it, and, you know, little kids could watch him paralyze himself, and like, who wants to see that? You know, why subject your audience to that? Like, at some point, somebody's got to be the grown-up in the situation and say, you know what, Darby, I understand that this is something you want to do. What's something else we could do to maybe make it safer? Or, you know, can we use something? You know, somebody has to be the voice of reason and kind of keep him in check a little bit. And that's, I don't know.
I know. And you have to almost like say to him, like, look, if you're not going to listen, you're not going to do this. Like, we can't, you know what I mean? You could do this, but you can't do this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Certain things you can do, yeah. Like, the dive through the middle rope and doing that and everything. Okay, yeah, it looks vicious and everything, but like I think he probably does that pretty safely. But like some of the stuff, yeah, like yeah, when's it enough? You know what I mean?
And Sting doesn't get past too. He shouldn't have gone through the glass either.
Right. But I will say this: I will give them credit that before Sting, when he propelled, I guess they did. Tony Khan personally reached out to Martha Hart,
yeah,
and asked for permission and said he would not. You know, she gave, and then she gave the blessing, and you know, which obviously, you know, it was done really, really safe, and he was hooked up professionally, and you know, all that stuff, which we had talked about a little bit, at least. Not that like, oh my god, that's so awesome. Well, yeah, it's not that it's awesome of him to ask permission. It's
if you have a relationship with her and you're, you know, giving her a platform, like that is something that you should probably check with her before you do something like that. So
it's kind of one of those reactions. It's like, okay, good, yeah, you better. You know what I mean?
Yes, so. You 100% need to do that. But overall, like I, you know, what I watched was fine. But the problem is, like, half of these matches, like, I just didn't care about. We talked about a little bit of that last week. Like, they just didn't. Like, Ospreay and Takeshita was a great match, but there wasn't really much of a story. You know, Christian Cage, Daniel Garcia wasn't much of a story. And you know, leading into it, Bryan and Kingston, I guess there was kind of, but I guess it ended up being a short match, so I don't even know what the time ended up being on that one, but. You know, Tony Storm Perrazzo was decent, you know, but kind of knew what was going to happen. Speaking of like cosplaying, Mariah May coming out as old Toni Storm actually looked exactly freaking like her. That was creepy.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But yeah, man, like overall it was a decent show. And then Dynamite, what do you think of have you seen the new set for Dynamite?
Yeah, it's very NXT 2.0.
Yeah. Somebody
a lot
said
of
that
colors.
Somebody said that the entrances look like two cock rings.
Yeah, I can see that. I will say real quick, like TNA went back to the, remember the old like entrance that's like the
Kevin, believe it or not, I actually watched TNA Impact last week, so I did their set, so I know what you're talking about. Yes, I actually watched
the show. Now if they could just bring back the camera angle when they come out or whatever, but like I like that they went back to the old set. So I tell you, TNA, like, I mean, it sucks that, like, I don't know what happened with Scott DeMore. Like, why
I don't know what, I don't know what happened with that either. That's weird. Because he's the one who kind of created this buzz that's gotten everybody watching it again, so.
Yeah, like, I think that was, like, an Anthem decision or something. Yeah. I know they did a big thing, like, after a show, and Eric Young came out. And
Scott DeMore apparently wanted to buy it. So, maybe, you know, maybe it's an issue.
Something there,
conflict of interest, but who knows. But,
So Dynamite, like, I saw the stuff with Christian and Adam Cole.
Yeah, Cope. He's just going by Cope now.
Cope. This has got to be the blow-off next week, right?
I would hope so, man. I would really hope so. Like, this has to end at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to see my father lose, but you know, I feel like he's going to. So.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I can't say it's a home run that he's not going to. So.
So,
Young Bucks.
Yeah, so did you see, like, all the people, Kenny Omega fired from AEW? No, he was not fired from AEW.
No,
they fired him from the Elite.
Yes.
And Hangman was suspended from the Elite, not from AEW.
Did you see Kenny Omega, what he tweeted today?
No.
It's a picture of him from the early days of AEW because his hair is a little shorter, and he's got that face like this, like that. So, in the end, this is, you know, once he's healthy, a good setup for, how this is going to play out, like, what I'm predicting is, obviously, I feel like Okada's going to go after Kingston and probably win the Triple Crown title.
Yeah.
And then, maybe not soon, maybe down the line or whatever, you know, maybe at the next, like, pay-per-view, big pay-per-view. Maybe right as Kenny's about to return or something like that. So, it's obviously leading towards Omega and Okada.
Yeah.
For the fifth time.
Yeah. But,
I mean,
in
the
first time.
In the U.S. for the first time. I mean, there are other four matches. I know it's Dave Meltzer, but they are four great matches.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the one
six star, 10-star, whatever.
Well, I think, no, one of their matches, I believe, was like 7.25 stars or something like that. So it was the highest. I forget. It was a Wrestle Kingdom 2016 or something like that. I think that's what. That's the only match up there that I've ever seen. It is a tremendous match.
Yeah.
Because it's a tremendous match because it was like a Omega Osprey. It's hard hitting.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of storytelling. So that's where it's going to lead to. Which, you know, to the people that love them, you know, it's a wet dream. For the casual, you know, maybe. Hopefully it sparks something. Hopefully it's going to be a payoff to spark something or whatever. You know, me personally, I like Kenny. I like Okada. You know, I just hope that we've only seen Okada a little bit. I hope that he can be like New Japan Okada. You know what I mean? Because he's just different over there. Maybe it's a comfortability thing. You know what I mean? Maybe it's something him or whatever. But I will say this for him, like, you know, he's a big star, and he has the ability to be a big star. Just he's got a great look. You know what I mean? Like, just him, his presence in the ring, like, knowing, like, just where, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people in AEW don't know where a hard camera is. He at least knows where the hard camera is and knows how to produce.
I'm just afraid he's just going to be another guy in AEW, though, and he's just going to fall to the wayside just like a lot of these guys have. And, like, there's so much top talent, and it's just like, he'll have this match with Kenny, and then what? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm afraid of that, too.
I was honestly so looking forward to seeing what he would look like in WWE, just because I feel like he would be more of a star as opposed to just another guy. But, I mean,
well, and that's,
AEW
and that's
supposedly made him a pretty huge offer, if those numbers are correct. So I guess, you know, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and honestly, that's probably what it came down to. The only thing I'm thinking is that, you know, maybe they said to him, all right, we're going to put you in NXT. And he didn't want that, which I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, but then again, like I said, it could also be a comfortability thing. Like, he knows all those people. He's obviously friends with all those people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, outside of Gunther and Nakamura, I mean, I know Nakamura and, like, Gunther, but, like, well, AJ probably knows. I'm sure he knows AJ.
Yeah.
From New Japan Day. And Finn.
Tamatunga just got signed, so he knows him.
Yeah, and it probably knows Finn and stuff. But maybe he just, maybe that wasn't it, but probably in the end of the day, it was either
Mike. You're trying to make a point, then you name 10 guys that he knows. You're like, well,
oh,
never mind.
I know. Well, that's not. I'm trying to do like pros and cons. So the pros and cons of friendships are about the same.
I mean, he made an offer. He made the decision. That's great. I mean, like I said, I mean, I just with the way WWE is now, I'm just excited.
Yeah,
they
weren't going to pay him $4.5 million a year.
No, without a doubt, not at first. You know what I mean? Maybe eventually. No. But yeah, definitely not at first.
But, well, and the thing is, he looked at it probably, okay, I got a 3-year probably guaranteed deal of about over $13 million.
Right.
I mean, he is still young. He's like 37, 38. Like, he could go a while.
Where's that $13 million coming from, though? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm just saying, like, eventually, like, if you're looking at AEW as a whole, like, I guess it'll be interesting to see what they sell their TV spot for if they have a deal. Because Tony Khan, I guess, was asked about it.
$13 million to somebody that's worth $8 billion is like $1,200 to me and you.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
Now, granted, $1,200 to me is a lot of money. But then again, though, like,
yeah,
that's a bad enough. You're not $1,200, maybe like $120.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know, man.
$120 is still a lot of money.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with him. But all right, so let's switch gears. Let's hop off the AEW train and hop on to WWE, because we got a few really, really good nuggets this week, especially when it comes to that main storyline with you know, the Bloodline versus Cody and Seth. Now, I gotta ask you, did you see Rock's, like, 20-minute promo that he cut, like, prior to SmackDown?
Yes.
Where he called out, like, Dave LaGreca and, like, all these people.
Yeah, and I get it, or I guess he did it because he wanted to say it all on SmackDown, but he obviously would have been able to, so that's why he did that.
Well, I mean, the segment then, without that was almost 45 minutes. So
that's what they said. Like, that's why he did that. He even said that. But the whole thing with David LaGreca, let me get this out of the way real quick. Bully Ray posted a great video of basically everybody that, like, shit on The Rock for calling out David LaGreca and everything. He's like, you don't get it. The Rock, biggest star in Hollywood, this and that, blah, 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 is talking about busted open radio.
Right.
Wake the fuck up, people, yeah. Basically.
He just put us over.
He put us over. Thank you. Anyway, moving on from that.
I know, dude. Like, everybody gets so freaking butthurt about everything. Like a lot of it is, like, yeah, I've been seeing a lot of stuff with LA... Sorry, a little sidebar, but I've been seeing a lot of stuff with LA Knight, too. People, oh, LA Knight's being buried. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, first of all, let me talk to you, okay? Last year, LA Knight was not on the card for WrestleMania. This year, he is in a high-profile match in a feud with a former WWE champion in AJ Styles. It takes time. You can't just... There's a lot of guys that are going for that main event spot right now. You can't just throw him in there. Like, you could dabble, which he did, but then you pull him back a little bit. Like, they did the same thing. They did this with Austin during his run. Like, he had championship matches against The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels long before he was stoned, like, the beer-swilling, foul-mouth SOB that he became. Like, it takes time. You gotta let it cook. Like, be fucking patient. Just wait, man.
Plus, I'm pretty sure there's something out there of AJ Styles versus Eli Drake from TNA days. Go watch it. Because that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like they don't know each other. There's going to be great chemistry. So that tells you right there, you got some great chemistry, and it's going to be a banger of a match.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great, man. It's going to be a great showcase for him.
Two guys over 40, one guy almost 50, you know, who both look like they're in their 30s. You know what I mean? So, like, it's, you know, I know we say show stealers all the time, this and everything, but, like, it has the potential of being that. So...
Yeah.
And like you said, it's going to be because the story was already started when AJ came back. And now it's just, and here's the thing, it came out of nowhere because you're instantly thinking, oh, LA Knight, Logan Paul. Maybe AJ and Randy or something, but it was like, boom, the opposite.
So, yeah, they just threw it right on the head. And it's been there. Like, if you look back, when AJ first came back, he punched LA Knight in the face. Like, there's that tension has been there that whole time, and now it's building up. So it's like, I feel like people just don't see it and they just react. Like, it's like it's like, oh, I'm not watching it, but I heard this is going on, so I'm gonna shit on it. But well, if you actually are watching it, then it would make sense.
The AJ Styles character they have right now on SmackDown with the Drew McIntyre character they have on Raw, like those two right there.
Yeah,
like that's the version of them I love. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're giving you, we could be all over the place here, I'm sorry, but like they're giving you versions of these people that we've seen, this version and then that version, this version and that version. You're getting them all, I think, of their best versions.
It's almost like they're being themselves too, which is, you know.
Yes.
You know,
now, even like, here's the thing with Seth Rollins, and everybody's speculating now, like, oh, Seth Rollins is going to turn on Cody. Oh,
well, we're going to get there, because I want to talk about the Bloodline segment first, because there's a lot to unpack there. All right, so let's get back to the Bloodline segment, right? So you had, you know, the Bloodline as we know it right now. You got Roman, you got Paul, you got Jimmy and Solo coming out to the ring, right? And they're doing the whole entrance, which takes 20 minutes, and then you get the promo. And Roman is visibly upset. Like, I love the storytelling already out of Roman. Like, he does not want to be there. He does not like, you know, he's complaining that the crowd's not acknowledging him loud enough. Like, he seems annoyed to begin with. And then The Rock comes out. And now he's even more annoyed. Like, you see him kind of stewing over there off to the side. Like, you don't really see Roman emote that much emotion in these type of situations, right? Then The Rock's getting his big pop, and, you know, they got the whole thing going on. So then, you know, the whole, you know, Rock kind of changes the terms of the match, and Roman doesn't even seem kind of happy about that either, right? I mean, he seemed even kind of like, oh, wait a minute, what's going on now? So what do you think of the stakes being put on that tag match, first of all? Do you like the Bloodline rules versus no interference, or do you think that's going to lead to, like, another family member showing up if that's the case, or where do you think they're going with that?
I honestly hope it's Bloodline rules, no rules, because, like,
Jay and Sammy, KO, like all the people from the past could like come back to help him.
I think it could cause so much. How do I want to say this? Motherfucking amazing chaos.
Yeah.
That. I don't know. I think of, maybe not in the same terms, but I think of like when Mick Foley finally beat The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then yeah. DX and the corporation, boom, 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 and then here comes Stone Cold. Something like that, because I bring that up because what if I know we have so much time to talk about stuff leading up to this. Somebody brought this up and I wanted to bring it up too. I don't know if you heard about this too, but a possible like scenario. All this chaos is going on, Bloodline rules, this and that, blah blah blah, whatever. All right, let's say, you know, The Rock's out there and he rock bottoms Cody or something or whatever, and he's going to get Roman, he's pulling Roman on the Cody, and then all of a sudden the glass shatters.
That'd be cool.
And like he comes out and like kind of fights off The Rock or whatever. I don't know.
Well, he gives Rock a stunner and he takes it and bounces out of the ring or something like he used to.
Yeah, something like that. Wishful thinking, but like
what if it's the game that hits though? I mean, that it kind of makes sense with what they're saying, but Triple H technically isn't supposed to do anything.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I guess you could somehow, you know, maybe he recruits Austin, like, oh, you know, I got somebody that'll take care of it or something like that. Like, I guess I could see that too. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that.
Dude, it'd be cool. The place would come unglued. But then when Cody wins, though, does that take away from? I guess it didn't with Mick, like because the crowd popped even harder when Mick won. So
I think it's to the point where I don't know. Like personally, I'd rather see Cody just clean,
mm-hmm.
cleanly beat him. There could still be the chaos and everything, this and that, but I'd rather
it go on for like another 5 or 10 minutes or something like that after the chaos, mm-hmm. and then he gets the win.
Yeah, like somebody takes out Roman, but then Roman kicks out or whatever, and then all the chaos is gone, and now it's just down to those two.
Yeah, and, or nobody touches Roman; they just take out everybody else. Like that would be that would be more ideal,
something like that. I will say this. So somebody else somewhere brought this up. They're like, if Roman does lose, it's like the crowd probably won't do this, but like the dude deserves a standing ovation.
Yeah. Yeah. He deserves some flowers, but who knows if that'll happen or not. He probably will bail out of there and give Cody his moment though. You know what I mean? Like I could see that. I could see Roman getting that appreciation maybe the night after or a couple nights at, like, you know, when he showed up on TV after that. I could see maybe him getting that type of love, but I don't know. Who knows? Maybe. I think people are just so ready for something to change, and that would be the biggest change of them all if he finally lost that championship. But anyway, all right, so let's get back to it, right? So you have this whole moment. Rock cuts his promo, and he goes, if you smell... Dude, what was the first thing that went in your head when you saw that hand come on his wrist and stop him right then and there? How freaking perfect was that camera shot, too, by the way? That was fucking awesome.
Oh, I mean, they know what they're doing. was just another like notch on the belt.
Yeah. Just like,
you know what I mean?
It's just very holy just a shit little moment, bit. And yeah.
It's just, there's just, oh God, it's like, we could sit here and talk about speculations and everything till we're blue in the face, but it's like, it's, for everybody, every time anybody's ever said, the story is dead, this is da-da-da, really, I really wish there was some way of some kind of documentation, or I wish they would come out with something like from the time this all started, basically in August of 2020, to now.
Yeah, it's like just, down the road, it needs to be like a documentary or something like that, or like some sort of like when it's all said and done, you know what I mean? Like there needs to be like a Bloodline anthology that kind of documents everything in like chronological order. Like, I think that'd be cool.
Cause going back, there's so much stuff I've forgotten about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but, But it's not even just that. It's just the stuff with Solo and Jimmy. You know what I mean? Because and then with Jimmy and Jay split off of that again. What's Solo thinking in this whole thing? Because we don't know. And how about also
when he said Solo would sing the national anthem?
Oh my god!
And Solo's face looked like he was in complete horror.
Yeah.
What do you think of The Rock calling? You flipped your camera. All right, Ohio State. Cool. What do you think of The Rock calling? Was it where were they at? Utah or no? They weren't in Utah. They were in Phoenix or whatever. Oh. Calling them like crackheads and meth heads and stuff like that. Go, now, when he ended the promo by saying, "Now go smoke some crack."
Dude, I love it, bitch, because, like, I mean, he's done such a good job doing this all on purpose.
Yeah.
Of just everything, so.
He's been very intentional about it. So then he acknowledges the tribal chief. So that's Roman's big ask. Like, I'll do anything for family, but I need you to acknowledge me. So Rock did. And, oh, dude, Paul Heyman's face sold that moment so well, too. Like, just Paul Heyman's face.
But, so, well, remember the first week when The Rock went like this,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yes. So he did it again this week.
He did.
Heyman's eyes.
Yeah. Straight to it.
We're looking at.
Yep. And then Rock eventually did kind of like bring it in, but then he didn't. And he had like, I don't, maybe Rock's just got something wrong with his thumb. Maybe he can't pull
it in or something. Yeah, I don't know. That,
maybe we're all thinking that's something, but in reality, his thumb's broken and he can't bend it that way.
Or yeah, maybe it's locked in place. Yeah. Like he can't, I can't.
Cause he did, like he moved it there, but then it like went straight, it went right back after that. So it's like it almost like reopened the door or something.
That would be funny, is that if they, Roman or somebody brought that up, like in the next promo or two or something like that, and The Rock would be like, well, no, it's like locked in place. I just can't. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just. If they have nowhere to go with that, like if he's just doing that on accident,
yeah,
and not on purpose, they should,
yeah,
they should get something out of it, even if it's just a quick thing. Like, no, it's just I can't see. I can bend this one, but I can't.
Right, I can't.
That's just why. And they'd be like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh man. All right. So yeah. So I mean, just great storytelling all the way around in that entire segment. And then when you flip the channel over to Monday Night Raw, you got Seth and Cody coming out talking about it. Also very good segment, very good promo. And you know, Cody seemed all about having Cody's back, but there was a moment, and I personally did not catch it watching live, but I saw the pictures of him kind of giving Cody a side eye. So was that just maybe a still frame shot, or was that intentional, do you think, that they're trying to point that out?
I don't know. Like, maybe it's intentional just to get you thinking. But I really hope he doesn't, like, you gotta think Seth's gonna take time off.
Yeah.
After all this. So what's the, like, if he loses, he is taking time off. Like, what's there to gain for him screwing Cody out or something? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right. Well, and I feel like,
but again, it makes you think.
Yeah.
It's so hard to predict.
And how are they going to structure this? So are both championship matches going to be night two, or is Seth going to have to pull double duty night one? And which match will be first? Is he going to face face Drew before he faces Rob, before he's in a tag match? Like, I guess I'm just like, why, how are they going to structure this, or how are they going to do this?
I'm guessing both title matches are night two.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be the smart way to go. Have both women's title matches on night one, and then have both men's title matches night two.
That would be my guess. Like, yeah. I'm trying to think, and my guess is that I also wonder too is that they want, because And you agree with me too, probably, that like the last 2 years, night one's been the better night.
Yeah.
And maybe this year they want to really ramp up night two. I don't know.
Yeah.
But because it's like, where do you put Jimmy and Jay? Do you put them on night
Right.
one or you put them on night two?
Right.
You got
And
AJ,
LA Knight.
LA Knight, and then you got,
You got Gunther, whoever's facing Gunther, you got Logan Paul and Randy Orton. Like, there's so many matches already that.
I would put Randy and Logan Paul night one. I'd probably put both women's title matches night one. Probably Jimmy and Jay. Yeah, I don't know. Like, is there gonna be a tag team title match? You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, it'll be interesting, especially if you're gonna put both if you put both title matches, you gotta really balance that out for night two, basically.
Do you think so Dakota Kai turned on Bayley, which I think we kind of saw coming. So who's gonna have Bayley's back now? Because it's very apparent that Mercedes Moné is gonna debut in AEW next week on Wednesday. Charlotte still recovering from knee injury. Becky has her own stuff going on, so the dream of the four horsewomen finally being a stable on TV just isn't gonna happen as of now. Now, there was a little bit of a run-in between Jade Cargill and Damage Control backstage. Maybe Jade Cargill has Bayley's back, but then, ends up being her first challenger or something like that if she wins, or
I mean,
maybe there's somewhere else they go with it.
I can honestly see and hope they could build to it. But like I said before, I would love to see Jade and Bianca
Yeah, me
challenge
too.
Kabuki Warriors and kind of have Bayley's back.
Oh, so that'd be okay, that'd be an interesting way to go about it then. Have then her kind of team up with Bianca. Okay. See, I
Because
see her and
that's
Bianca
a,
in a match, but
yeah,
there's
but
time though.
I think that's a good way to protect her as she still keeps getting established.
Right.
Put her in a tag team with Bianca, because the thing is, like, they could still go to NXT now and then and wrestle, but like put the tag team titles on them. Like,
Yeah.
who the fuck's gonna beat
Dude, yeah, right?
that
They'll be the longest reigning. Not that it would be that hard, but they
team?
would for sure be the longest
Plus
reigning women's tag champs.
everything that's been happening with Bianca on Instagram, which is fucking terrible. I don't know if you've seen any of that.
No, what's going on there?
So, you know how she was one of the cover people for 2K?
Yeah.
So, or excuse me, 24, 2K.
Yeah, 2K24.
2K.
Yeah.
Thank you. So many racist remarks, like
Really?
DM'd at her by just fucking asshole troll people,
Fuck are wrong with people, man? Like,
like 2 out of 3, somebody said something like, yeah, 2 out of 3 are right. I don't know why they had to put a black on the cover and like 1955, 65 bullshit. Like,
dude, what the fuck?
yeah. So, obviously, like everybody's like, they're reaching out to her to make sure she's okay and this and everything. So,
Yeah, dude,
like,
that's
yeah,
like people booing Maxine Dupri like at a live event. Like
yeah.
that's
Come
one
on.
thing. Like, okay, but still, like they have the right to boo. But when you go to that when you're personally messaging somebody racist and derogatory comments because they achieve something fantastic that, you would never be able to achieve in a million fucking years because you're a
And even
pathetic
people
piece of
that boo
shit.
Maxine, even people booing Maxine Dupri, let's see your fucking jackass get in there and even do anything.
Right.
Like, I don't
Right.
know.
But dude, yeah, I didn't know that. Like that sucks. Like
Yeah,
I,
it
you
just,
know.
I think a lot of it just started coming out today or whatever. And then, like, a lot of
Yeah.
people, like Big E and a bunch of people, I haven't read a lot, but let's say tons of support, obviously, for her. And,
Yeah.
like, I read something, like, somebody screenshotted. Because somebody's like, what the heck happened? Is she okay? And then somebody was like, yeah, just racist assholes on Instagram. And they screenshotted like some of the comments, and
Comments, Jesus.
that was some of the ones that
Yeah.
I
I mean,
saw. So
if you're out there listening to this right now and you're one of those people that made one of those comments, go fucking crawl in a hole. Like, fuck you.
yeah, and
Nobody.
stop listening to us.
We don't need you on our listen feed. So yeah, dude, that sucks. That's but yeah, I mean, putting her, but yeah, dude, to your point earlier though, her and Jade together would be a pretty formidable tag team,
Oh, yeah.
and they would, and it would eventually probably branch off into a rivalry, which would be pretty epic as well. So I think all in all, you can't really go wrong with that. I mean, it'd
That's what I'm
be
saying, like,
formidable as hell. Just
two people that have,
powerhouses.
dude, but their
Like,
look,
yeah.
first of all, ability. You know what I mean? I
Yeah.
know Jade's still pretty green, but like she, and that's like I said, putting her with somebody like Bianca and stuff, like, you know,
Where
would
Bianca
just.
was where she was a few years ago, you know what I mean? So that's a good mentor for her to really
Oh my
to
God,
get that opportunity to work with, you know?
being on the road with her and stuff and
Yeah.
everything, but like you said, just like first of all, like Bianca's probably one of the strongest like people in the WWE and agile. Jade's the same way, like
It would almost be like when Kane and Big Show won the tag team championships. Like,
yes.
who the fuck are you gonna have beat them? So I guess a squad of
Well,
cheerleaders will have to start a stable.
no, the chase you. But yeah, I hope that happens. I'd be all for that. That'd be awesome.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of anything else. Braun Breaker made his debut and destroyed Zion Quinn.
Dude,
Dude.
did you see him on NXT with that fucking when he did the Frankensteiner from the top rope?
Yeah.
Did you like see him fucking just hop up there, stand,
Yeah.
and then fucking do it with no hands?
Yeah.
Like,
Dude's a freak. Some might say
dude's
he's
a
a
freak.
genetic freak.
Yes, and that's his uncle, his dad. Yeah, dude, somebody said that, like, they said he might be one of the fastest people I've ever seen run the ropes.
Yeah.
And which is funny with his size and stuff. Like,
Kurt Angle couldn't even do that smooth.
no, currently with the person that I always, to me, was always the fastest running the ropes was Shawn,
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Steamboat was pretty good at it too. But yeah, to me, Shawn was always head and shoulders above it. That's a bad comparison because he's, you
Yeah.
know. Sean in his prime so much far
Well,
ahead
I
of like a lot of people.
I never saw Sean do anything like that though, where you would just make that standing jump like that and clear the ropes.
Well,
I
that's what I'm
can't.
saying. It's like he climbed up the ropes like this
Yeah.
without using his arms and then like stood
Yeah.
like this, like, hey, how's it going? And then jumped.
Yeah.
Because normally, like when they do that, they at least put their hands up like around here, just to brace themselves. And they no, he
No,
just,
just straight up. Yeah, that was pretty
yeah.
damn impressive.
So,
The street fight between Carlito and Santos was cool, and you got a Rey Mysterio
that was
returning.
awesome. Actually, that was
Yeah.
awesome. Honestly, that main event was pretty sweet.
Well, actually, it wasn't
So,
even the main event. Randy and
but
Austin Theory.
excuse me, not main event. To me, it felt like a main event.
Yeah, Randy and Austin Theory just kind of helped kind of tell more of the story, but it did end with a pretty epic RKO though, so you got to give it that.
Yeah, good on Randy messing up or fixing Austin Theory's botch. Did you see that with the superplex?
No, I missed that.
Okay, yeah, Austin Theory, like he jumped too soon or something like that
Oh.
on something, and if Randy didn't like turn it into a suplex, like Theory could have got like hurt. So Randy
Yeah.
kind of saved them there. So.
Let's see. Trying to think anything on Raw. It was anything like Judgment Day versus Kaiser and Vinci. Did I not finish Raw? Sami Zayn versus Ivar. Or am I on the wrong night? No, Jay versus Drew. I saw the end of that. Maybe I fell asleep and forgot because
Well,
I don't remember Judgment Day versus Imperium at all.
yeah, I don't remember seeing that because I was what I might have been saying. It might have been the same thing for me. I was watching some of that. I might have fallen asleep
Because
or
I
something.
remember the Becky and Nia thing because Liv interfered and cost Becky the match, and then there was some storytelling there. I remember Andrade going up against Apollo.
I remember, so how about Seth coming out to save Cody and just running by Drew? And Drew's like,
yeah.
Oh, am I not worthy of you attacking me or something? Yeah. Or Drew attacking him.
Yeah. Dude, did you see the video I sent of Drew in the car?
I love him.
Dude, I don't know, like, I know he hasn't been on the show, but Michael is, like, still, like, not on board with Drew McIntyre. And I sent him that video. I was like, how do you not love this guy? Like, how can
because,
you not?
Because Drew McIntyre shits on.
Okay, repeat that. I accidentally stopped the recording, so I'm going to have to, like, I apparently bumped the space bar with my elbow and it stopped the recording. So I'm going to have to edit this together.
I said, Michael just hates Drew McIntyre just because he calls out his boy CM Punk.
Yeah, that's definitely true too. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of funny. Like Drew's character has just been amazing, and you know, I'm sorry, AEW marks, Drew's not going anywhere. He did sign a new contract with WWE, so he's going to be staying in WWE for the foreseeable future. So he is not making the jump over.
You're not getting Drew Galloway.
Sorry. Nope, no, Drew Galloway will not be All Elite. Funny little tidbit before we close this out, because we're running up on that hour, so if we don't stop now, we never will. But so WWE 2K24 is, I think it's officially out today or tomorrow or something like that. I got it early because I'd pre-ordered it, so like I've had access to it for a couple of days. But they have a game mode where it's like a card collection game, and you can use those cards to like play. It's called like My Faction. So you're like build your faction by unlocking these cards. It's almost like a Madden Ultimate Team type thing, something like that, right? So one of the cards is if you pre-ordered the one edition, you got this card, and it is a Mattel Elite figure of Cody Rhodes. So it's an action figure, but it's a playable character in the game. So you're playing as Cody Rhodes, the action figure, not playing as, you know, it's kind of cool. They did it with John Cena last year too, and John Cena's is also in this version of the game. But the thing I find the most funny about it though is that the name of the character in the game and the character selection screen is Elite Cody Rhodes.
Oh my god. Wow. That could have been done on purpose.
Right. Well, I mean, they're the Mattel Elite. It's the Elite Edition Mattel figure. So, I mean, it makes sense. But it's not Mattel Elite Cody Rhodes. It's Elite Cody Rhodes. So yeah. I was like, oh, that's a little tongue-in-cheek, I think.
It's almost, if you say it enough or fast enough, Mattel Elite, Mattel Elite. Oh, Elite.
Yeah.
Mattel Elite.
But yeah, it was. I just found that a little funny. There was something else I was going to bring up today, and I can't remember. Was it in that? Did we cover everything in the text?
Tony Schiavone.
Oh my god! Yeah, dude, did you hear that?
I did not hear that. But
so he, you know, judge or the Undisputed Elite. Right? Is that what they're called? Or Undisputed...
Kingdom.
Kingdom, yeah. Undisputed Kingdom. They come out on the stage. Cole cuts a promo about how Wardlow's getting a shot at Joe and blah, 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 blah. And then... but then they... Swerve and Joe basically end up challenging Taven and Bennett to a match. And they're like, oh, we'll do it next week. And they're like, no, we want to do it tonight. And then Tony Schiavone was in the ring. He goes, well, actually... I just got word from Tony Khan, because apparently Tony Khan makes matches like in a heartbeat, because it's like before like you even have time to think about it, they already have the match made. It's just funny how they do that. But mm-hmm. So they make the match, and then Tony Schiavone sits back down at commentary, and they're talking about what happened, and he goes, it always feels great to shove it up Adam Cole's ass. And oh, you can tell Taz got it right away, but he was like, I'm gonna leave it alone.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
It was just the most poor choice of words that you could possibly have. Like, the, I mean, like it didn't, it, I mean, it sounded like you heard it. Like,
it, oh God. That's hilarious. That's awesome.
Oh, man. So, I mean, Tony Schiavone, he's got some kink to him, I guess. But poor Adam Cole.
I will say one more quick thing from Revolution. It was awesome that JR got to be out there.
Yes.
Yeah. With Tony Schiavone. I know Excalibur was there. Like, I kind of wish it was just JR and Tony.
I know.
Because yeah. they're the ones that call Flair and Sting. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, first time that ever happened to babyface on a commentary team. Like, I kind of wish it was just them. But they did. Honestly, JR did great. I thought
he did. And, he really did.
He got
lost a couple times, but I mean,
but yeah, unless yeah, he's did doing good. Okay. Hopefully, he he's good. Doing okay. Yeah, but. That was awesome that at least they got to both be out there.
And he was also – he wasn't just out there for that match too because I think he called Swerve, Darby, and I think he was out there for a couple. So
Yeah, he called the title match. So.
But, yeah, it's definitely a good thing. So hopefully JR continues to get better because his voice being on TV is just nostalgia to your ears every single time. So glad he's kind of pulling the nose up a little bit. So anyway, man, I think that we covered everything I want to cover then. So unless you can think of something else.
No, I'm good. See what happens this week.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think we're going to get some more story being told. I'm excited to see what's going to happen on SmackDown. I feel like, you know, Rock.
Seth Rollins is supposed to be there. So.
Seth and Cody are supposed to, you know, come give their answer to the Bloodline. So. I'm excited for it. And like you, I kind of want that too. I want the chaos of it. Not just because I want to see Solo sing the national anthem, but I just feel like the chaos for that match could be a lot of fun. And we already saw them one-on-one. And you got to imagine Cody thinks that it's not going to be one-on-one no matter what happens. So just having it out there, but also having that, you know, having that vulnerability of The Rock potentially costing Roman. Because I we're still going to get that match one way or the other, right? The tribal chief versus the high chief, like that's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. So it's like, how are we going to build to that now? And if it happens to be at SummerSlam in Cleveland, I'm not going to be mad at it. Are you?
No.
We might have to take out a loan to afford the tickets, but one way or the other.
I don't know. I think sometime in April, they go on sale. We'll have to do a lot of research on SeatGeeks and this and that. So.
Find out how many we need and all that fun stuff. Because I know if I'm going, there might be other people in my house that want to come too. So, and I already know of a few other people that have been like, if tickets go on sale, man, let me know.
I know. And you know what? I was thinking about that too. I was like, there's no way I couldn't like even my kids who are just casual, hardly ever pay attention to wrestling. Like, that's something I would love for them to experience, you know what I mean? And the great thing is, like, you and I know, like, personally, how Cleveland Browns Stadium is.
Mm.
Even if we sat on the top seats in the top row, like...
It's not a bad seat in that arena.
There's really not a bad seat at all.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so anybody that's never been there, like, there's... I know there's the potential of them building a new stadium, but the one nice thing about the current Cleveland Browns Stadium is the way it's designed is that you literally can see from everywhere. Like, there is not a bad seat. Like, even the top nosebleeds, like, you still have a great view of everything that's going on. So
I mean, 1999, I mean, first time I went there was 99, day after Christmas with my dad, and we sat, like, two rows from the top, like, Lake Erie behind us, and honestly, like, also too, like, certain parts there, they do a great job of blocking out wind and stuff. But anyway, two rows from the top, and I felt like I was like 15 rows back from the field. Like, that's like, I don't know, it's just how it's built or whatever. Like, so, like, I imagine, like, looking down, like, I think of, like, in my head, looking at the 50-yard line. Like, yeah, it's going to seem smaller, but you're still going to be able to see pretty well.
Yeah. So. And they put those nice big video boards up too. So, you know, you'll be able to see things going on those. So there's definitely a lot of good things about that stadium. So I'm excited if it's going to happen. So I feel like we got to find a way to be there. So,
yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, man, that's all I got. So hopefully everybody enjoyed the show. If you want to, you can follow us on your favorite podcast app of choice. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on TikTok just by searching Gimmick Minute. You can also just search Gimmick Minute on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, however you get your listens. Make sure you subscribe. The more subscribers we have, the more it helps us with the algorithms and the more it kind of boosts up our podcast. So if you listen to the show but you don't subscribe, please do. And of course, you can always find out everything that we're doing on X just by searching at Live Your Gimmick. That's the at symbol followed by LiveYourGimmick. So that's going to wrap up this episode of the show. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. Kevin, I know I did. It was good having the conversation. Thank you for joining me this week. And for Kevin, my name's Jason. Reminding all of you out there in the internet wrestling community to be a fan. Be a patient fan. Be patient as a fan. But always live your gimmick. Goodbye, everybody.
And don't be fucking racist.
Exactly. Don't be fucking racist. Thanks for getting that in there.